Tyler, you gotta start this episode so we can save our marriage.
Don't tell me what to do.
Hello and welcome to Bruise Day Tuesday podcast episode 595. You're a monster, Tyler Driblet. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You have garlic in your soul, Tyler Driblet.
Garlic in the soul.
Touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole.
I'm sorry, I stepped on that. That's my bad.
Yeah, the thing is, it feels like the blat should be the end of it.
It does. It does.
That's not the end of it, though.
Okay. It's true. I was gonna say garlic in your soul. Ending,
that's the man who's never actually heard your mean one, Mr. Grinch.
No, that's what all the Gentiles used to say to me. So thank you for bringing back that trauma.
Yeah. Yeah, so welcome to Bruise Day Tuesday podcast. Our third today is Hitler.
For this Christmas Eve
episode. We've got Hitler on. Actually, I don't know who we have because all I see is big robot penis blocking the view. No, I know it's Three Stacks. Hi, Three Stacks.
Hello.
It's a Ginsburg episode. It's a Ginsburg Christmas.
Hello.
And as you can tell, it's good energy going on so far. But you've got a beer poured, maybe? At least cracked? Cracked, not poured.
Why am I pouring this with my left hand? This feels so wrong. I hate it. I can't stop.
It's so weird to me. It looks exactly how a beer would normally be poured.
No.
Huh. Interesting.
That is uncomfortable. Weird.
Perspective.
So what you got there?
I have Hop Butcher Holiday Train. Citra and Amarillo hopped India Pale Ale brewed with rooibos tea, ginger, cinnamon, almonds, pistachios, and orange peel.
It's too much. It's too much.
It's a lot of foods. It's 6.5% ABV.
You know what? I bet you'll taste the pistachio.
It smells like absolutely zero of the things that it said are in there. It smells like just a standard IPA, so I'm a little concerned.
I once heard fruitcake described as someone started making a cake and then just scraped everything they had on the counter into their batter and were like, yeah, that'll be fine. And this sounds a little bit like that.
Yeah. They just got rid of the other, like, the old ingredients they used for their other single weird ingredient beers and put it into this one.
This beer tastes like an IPA that makes you kind of cock your head to the side a little bit and go, what? I wouldn't identify any single flavor that they claim here. I think what I am getting is probably the cinnamon and orange peel a little bit. Like, there's a little extra weird bitterness at the end and a little bit of spice, ? We'll see. Yikes. Holiday Train. You're not very Christmassy on first sip.
Yikes. Well, you have about 50 minutes and 16 ounces to see if there's something more here.
True facts. My punishment continues. I have Berliner Geschichte Bock. I don't like Bocks. I don't like them. It's 6.7% ABV. It poured out mad floaties. Holy floaties, bro.
They're all suspended. I gotta tell you, they're not coming across over Skype. That looks like a clear-ass beer to me.
No, I know. And it, honestly, from far away, it looks pretty clear, but you bring it up to your face, and there are tons of floaties suspended all throughout the water column here.
Can you bring it up to my face, please?
I can try. I don't know that it's going to come through with the camera.
Ooh, yeah, that looks like TV static in a beer.
I can't tell if it's mad floaties or if it's just, like, poor camera quality.
Just assume it's mad floaties, because there are tons of them in there.
Okay.
It had a pretty mild head that's gone now. Bubbles looked fairly similar size. Smells like bread. Ugh. It's Bock. I mean, it tastes like a Bock. It's probably what it's supposed to taste like, but I just don't like Bocks. They taste a little bit like soy sauce to me.
I was going to ask, because you've said that sentence 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been cooking like an East Asian dish, like frying up some fried rice or making lo mein, and been like, this could use a little bit of umami, I should dump a bok in here?
No, but I bet that would be great. I bet that would be like, if you did like a beer can chicken with a bok to then put into like, I don't know, some sort of Asian food, that'd probably be really good.
Yeah, I don't think it would be.
Oh, okay.
I think soy sauce would probably be better.
Okay, fine. I'm the one time I was willing to walk down maybe lane with you.
Oh, man. It's wild that I pulled that rug out from under you, because I know what my content is, and it's really me reaching out and asking for help. So
and that's what you want to put on the line.
When you fuck me later,
yeah,
it will have been you fucking me back. Anyway, what I have is my final of my Advent series
beers.
I kept thinking, oh, I'll have 5 of these because there's 5 of this day of the week in December, but that's not how Advent works.
Correct.
That's They're not, just like yeah. Christmas and then fuck the rest of you December,
Cut
you
it.
Dumb assholes.
Cut it hard.
That's when the 12 Days of Christmas starts, and I didn't make you a 12 Days of Christmas beer thing, because that's a lot of work.
But of course I got you your 12 Days of Christmas woobles, but we don't need to get into that.
Your what's now?
Woobles. Anyway, I have Central Waters French Toast Stout.
Okay.
Brewer's Reserve. Stax, you looked this up. You said it was what, 11.7?
That is what Untappd told me.
So, I've very high expectations here.
Dork.
The nose is only malt.
No toast. Well, I guess only toast, no French. Oh no, that's not a good look.
No, it's a great sweet malty stout, but I never in a million years would have pegged this as French toast.
Mm.
And like French toast, I'm just thinking like, what do you want to impart here? I would be thinking maple and egg.
Right, yep.
Like, mm-hmm. The flavor profiles to get that across specifically. Like, the breadiness is there, but the breadiness could be anything.
Sure.
I'm going to let Emily try this. And this is another one of those where we'll see what we see as it warms up. And also, I'm overlooking the fact that I never would have guessed 11.7.
Well, that's so good. That's good.
It's lowballing itself ABV-wise, but also... we might be looking at the Bufalini effect.
Getting boofed. Getting boofed. All right. I'm extremely proud of you for remembering it and bringing it up first, Samuel. Great job.
God, that was like 8 weeks ago.
Exactly.
Yes, your tiny little brain. Brewster Tuesday podcast website up, where in the sidebar it shows recent episode titles.
Oh, I legitimately didn't see it was there. I only had the... had it up so I knew which number this one was.
Well, great memory. And as it turns out, according to community.ratebeer.com, Ratebeer itself is a memory now. Well, as of February 1st, 2025. So to bring everybody on a walk down memory lane, Ratebeer was founded in like 2000, 2002, something like that. So it's an OG in the community, and rating beers, bringing people together over beer, like I said, just kind of a mainstay in the beer community. It was acquired by AB InBev back in like 2017 or something like that.
I think we might have reported on that.
We did, and we were like, it's dead, it's fucking dead, because now they can just do whatever they want. It wasn't dead, though. It lasted another 7 years, but now...
Whoa, well, I mean...
In a form.
It had stage 2 cancer.
Yeah.
And it never entered remission, and now it's dead.
Right.
We said it would be.
Its utility was done back in 2017, but it shambled on like a revenant until now. And AB and Bev, I guess, is just shutting it down. So that's the end.
Yeah, eat shit and die, sell out. Like I yeah. Like I don't have anything else to say. Like this is what we knew would happen. Mm-hmm. This is what you had coming, and so now you're dead.
Mm-hmm. It it just, you know, reminds me a lot of the whole shit. Who bought? Was it Sapporo that bought Stone and then laid off their whole creative team?
Sure, let's go with that.
Yeah, it's just like, I understand why people think it's a good idea to sell their stuff to macro companies, and it can be like a hard economic time, but like this is just what's going to happen. Like they're just going to make everything worse until it eventually goes away.
And I mean, kind of in the same way, I feel bad for the people who got laid off at Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad for the people who, you know, were trying to pay a mortgage.
Right.
Working for Rate Beer. They, I'm going to assume, didn't have any say in selling themselves out.
I would assume not.
They just were told, you have a new corporate overlord, keep working. And so they kept working. And now they are going to have to find new jobs. And that sucks. And, like, they are without sin. And the corporate mob bosses, like, aren't going to taste any hardship due to this. And it gets me really, really Luigi'd, you know?
The Mangione effect.
I think both of those are valid terms, and we should use both of them often.
Yeah.
And loudly when corporate people are around.
Big time. Stacks, how do you feel about that?
Well, she fucking loves corporate shit, so we'll see what she has to say.
Yeah, but she also loves the idea of CEOs.
But she also loves my boy Luigi Mangione. We were talking about how he's innocent last week, and you were like, I'm ready to pull the trigger myself. And me and your lovely wife are like, I don't know, Samuel. He's psychopath.
That was while I was putting one of my kids to bed, and I only heard about that during the edit, and I was like, these guys are fucking psychopaths.
Next you're telling me you don't think he should be charged with terrorism.
Well, no, he shouldn't be charged with terrorism. No, he didn't do any terrorism. He did a murder.
I'm telling you, it's exactly like Sacco and Vanzetti. It's so fucking funny. It's so funny. The federal government just cannot handle Italian people. Like, I love calling Wops and Guineas and Goombas, but it's just so amusing how the federal government can't handle them.
It just makes me wonder the way you would murder a CEO such that it wouldn't be considered terrorism. Do you need to just yeet a grenade into a crowd and be like, I didn't even know he was in there.
No, that's a grenade. That's obviously terrorism then, if you yeet a grenade into a crowd.
Okay.
No, it's because, Samuel, it's because...
Personally.
I think you have to
erotically asphyxiate them.
There's an idea. No, you have to Bruce Wayne's parents the whole situation.
Ooh.
Catch him in an alley. Obviously, you know it's them, mm-hmm. but you're it.
To, plausible deniability.
Right, you act like it's just a stick up job. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have to grab her pearl necklace. We have to pan across the pearls bouncing on the dirty, grubby streets. Otherwise, it doesn't count as a murder.
Yeah. You know, they probably should have just let him have, like, the pearls, right? Like, they're millionaires. Like, the richest people in Gotham.
Yeah, but something about justice or something? I don't know.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, really, the argument is they thought they were untouchable because they're billionaires.
It comes back. Did my boy Luigi murder the Waynes?
It all makes... I have always loved Batman. And it just makes me love Batman less and less every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Don't sell your stuff out, I guess.
Yourself, right, beer? Eat shit.
Yep, bye.
Got Mangione'd, dumbass.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll happen one day, whether it's now or, you know, 7 years from now. If you sell your stuff out, it's going to get bad and then go away.
The nice thing about how no one gives a flying fuck about Bruce Day Tuesday is I'm not going to get Mangione'd about it.
I really hope not.
I'm hemorrhaging cash on this operation.
So I got a new doctor now, and the, like, patient portal is through Epic. And so if I have any fucking problems, the two of you are going to be hearing about it.
Well, I don't know what Epic is, but I'm sure to help you if I can, as someone who works for a
company.
Specific medical technology company.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That sounds...
Also, if you leave a one-star review in the App Store, we do know at least one of the people who might review it and respond to you.
Please
and
don't.
Remind you that you're that real people read these.
Well, like, I'm a personal friend of a guy. We both are. We're friends with one of the guys whose job it is to respond to those, and he's very nice. Please don't fuck with my boy Schwind. He's a really nice guy.
I don't think I've ever left a review on anything ever.
Yeah, a lot of people like to leave reviews that are like, my insurance billed me for this thing and my doctor didn't tell me. I'm blaming the app. And you're like, possible universe?
I think you should counteract that by saying, 5 stars. I only like this app because of the Bruce Day Tuesday podcast.
That's an idea. But I can't be asked to give a review. Like, even if it does suck, like it totally freezes up or whatever, like, I'm going to go on the App Store and be like, this app didn't work. Like, what's that going to do? It's not going to do fucking shit.
I downloaded a game that, like, just wouldn't load. Like, it got to 98% on the bar and then crashed every time. And I went and looked at reviews, and, like, maybe 10% of them were, it doesn't even load. This game doesn't work at all. And I was like, yeah, man, this game doesn't work at all. So I deleted it. But I didn't leave my own review saying, also, it didn't work for me. I just deleted it and downloaded a different game.
Yes, correct. I agree. I agree with that. That's the point I'm trying to get across. But what else is going on over there?
I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
Because you know me, I never have content.
Sam, the question, Ginsburg. Actually, that's pretty cool. I don't know. That's pretty cool. I'm going to take that one back. I'm going to say that for somebody else.
Call me the question.
I need everyone to know that when we go on long vacations together, Sam brainstorms icebreaker questions to discuss at dinner because we don't have our own distinct experiences, so we don't really have anything to talk about.
That's great. That's fine. I think that's totally fine.
That's called love.
Yeah.
I hope you're enjoying it.
No, that reminds me, like, my parents would, like, when we were driving, and now your kids are a little too young, but they would do things like ask us questions like, you know, if you could do any X, what would it be? And like, why would it be that? So
sure. Like if you had a superpower, that kind of question.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, that seems like a very like parental, like brain building thing to do. I'm totally fine with that. And yes, 3 Stacks, I'm saying your brain needs to be built up.
Yeah, but sometimes he just asks me math questions and then he stares at me until I give him an answer.
Mm. Well, that's for my own sexual satisfaction.
Right. That's different. Yeah.
So I've been thinking about a thing. This is, as a parent of 3 young children, most of what I do is think about, oh my God, when I don't have to deal with these fucking kids anymore, what will I do with all of the free time I have?
You're planning for 18 years from now?
Yeah, it shouldn't be 18. Because, like, 10 years from now, they'll have realized that we're lame and won't want to deal with us. And they'll play video games or...
Wait.
Go play sports or go on...
You're 10-year-old?
Did you not play video games when you were 10 years old?
I didn't have... No, my parents didn't give me video game systems.
Did you not play outside when you
were 10
years old?
I'm suddenly realizing why he's such an unhappy little man.
It's true.
Anyway, what, like, the number of years is irrelevant.
Okay, all right.
At some point,
yeah,
we will not quite be empty nesters, but we'll have a lot more free time because now we have no free time. We have negative free time.
Mm-hmm, right.
Right now, 2 of our 3 children are watching TV just so we can record this podcast. That's not a joke. They're watching Spidey and his amazing friends on a on an iPad. I hope they're doing okay. We don't know.
I checked the camera. They're doing fine.
Cool. Anyway, I've had a lot of questions about, like, once we're up from under this situation, what will we do with our time? And one thing I keep thinking about is I would love to get really good at cooking. I mean, broadly, I'm a B-minus cook and have been a B-minus cook for, call it, 5 years now. And I'd like to have a few dishes that I can just really fucking nail, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think you need some repetition to get there. And so the number one thing that I would love to be great at cooking, just to be able to just, like, off the dome be like, bop, 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 this is great, is a risotto. I would love to just be able to crank out a risotto, and it's great. But I know myself enough to know that I would need to cook risotto weekly for a year to, like, really get good at risotto. Because I'm not good at cooking. Uh-huh. And I've talked to Emily about this a few times, and she's like, so what? I have to just, like, eat shitty risotto for a year? And I'm like, yeah, kinda. And she's not, for a weird reason, she's not thrilled with that idea.
Yeah.
But I'm curious. This is the discussion topic.
Yeah.
What is the thing you would cook weekly for a year to really master
so that man. You
could have it in your culinary repertoire?
Wow. That's not the road I was going down. I had so many other thoughts in my head.
Well, the thing is, I'm just looking to burn time here. Go down whatever road you want, but that is the discussion question.
Well, I was like, you know, instead of just feeding it to Three Stacks, find, like, one homeless guy, and every week you give him some risotto, and eventually it gets better and better and better.
And never leaves my home?
No, you don't. He doesn't have to know where you live. You find where his spot, and every week...
Every time you give a homeless guy bad risotto, he's gonna be like, why is this guy targeting me?
It's not like I would give him bad risotto. Like, it's a little under, or it's a little over-seasoned or something. Like, like, bad risotto is still kind of good.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
As someone who's made bad risotto a number of times.
And then number two, if we're talking like 18 years, I don't have to worry about that, because all I'm going to be eating is, like, ground cricket protein bars or whatever.
Okay, we'll start...
No, I know, Sam. I'm just saying this is where my head's at. But if
can you move your head to somewhere a little more helpful, please?
Oh my God, you said all you wanted to do was burn time, and now he's nagging me. He nags.
I'm really Becca-ing you over here.
I don't think that one's gonna work. I think we've really had the Ginsburg effect this episode. Am I right? Am I right, fellas?
What fellas are you talking to?
Yeah. Are the fellows in the room with us right now? Nailed it.
I used that one on my call with my boss when I was hooked in through the microphone.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't.
I would not have. I'm not an idiot.
Well, Wisconsin did go red, right?
I mean, all the swings did because of
legitimate
things that happened.
Absolutely. I was just curious, because I think Delaware was blue, so I guess you're right. I'm such a libtard. But anyway, I guess...
Libtard?
Uh-huh. That's the one.
There we get out of here!
I don't know. That's an interesting question. Why? Do you really like risotto, or do you think it's like just a fancy dish or something? Or what?
Oh, both. I love risotto. There is the element of... There's a subplot in Akewood about Theodore getting obsessed with cooking risotto.
I don't remember. That's funny.
So it was mostly in – I don't know if you ever read the blogs.
Not really.
The blogs are also really funny. They're not that as good sense. As the comics, but the blogs are also really funny. And so there's stuff about risotto in there. And also I've been the – would it – be fair to say the primary cook in the house for a few years now?
Yeah.
Basically since we started having kids.
No. I still cooked after I took over cooking again when we only had one kid for a while.
She's been cooking for those kids for a while out of those mammary glands, brother.
I mean, I also make the children a different dinner than what we eat literally every night, so.
Yeah, booby milk.
Primary cook.
Yeah, no, that's
booby
true.
Booby milk.
We're not talking about, stop talking about my
booby milk.
Wife's boobies, fucking pervert. We do HelloFresh, and I cook most of the HelloFreshes, I guess is the more accurate way to put it.
Yeah, yeah.
And every now and then, it'll be a risotto. And I'm like, I feel like a real legitimate fancy cooking boy every time I get to make a risotto. And I love it. I love risotto. I think it's a, like, when I go to a fancy restaurant, if there's a risotto, yeah. I'll get a risotto. I just love risotto.
I got you, dog.
So I'd love to get great at making risotto and then, you know, be like, what if I put some twists on it? What if I made like a Southwest style risotto. What if I made an East Asian risotto?
And I would.
You know what you
should put in it? Some bok.
I actually like it better when it tastes good, but maybe that's just me. But we're not here to talk about how much I have a hard on for risotto. I'm asking if you. We're in a situation where you're like, I'm going to master a dish or maybe not a specific dish, but like even just like, you know, handmade pasta.
Right.
You know, something cooking wise.
Well, I think paella would be funny. Oh, do you have stuff that written down for me? You psychopaths?
No. So, okay. Well, 3 Sex, you read it. You pulled it up, you fucking weirdo. I don't know. I don't know how this happened.
So, back when I first met Sam and I had to stalk him on the internet, I went through all of his old Facebook posts, and my brain is real weird and just has certain things that stick in it.
I think you can stop there. Your brain is real weird.
Yeah, sure. My brain's real weird. So this just lives rent-free in my brain. That in August of 2013, Sam, in all caps, made his Facebook status, "Why does my apartment smell like risotto? I have never cooked risotto."
But he
at that point,
to.
That was accurate.
He wanted to cook risotto so bad.
He was so obsessed with the idea of cooking risotto 11 years ago.
And can you read the comment without saying who it's from and see if Tyler can guess who it's from?
The only comment is, "It's a sign. Make risotto."
Who demanded I make risotto?
Is it Greg?
Boris.
Oh, it was Boris.
That's funny. Good call, Boris. I don't remember saying that. I don't know why my apartment would have smelled like risotto. I think it's possible I was reading Akewood and thinking a lot about risotto. It's
really, really funny. I think paella would be funny. Like just to be able to bang out like a paella, because it's like kind of complicated. But I think I'd actually like to just like, if there was one thing I was going to get really good at, I think it would be like making bread.
Yes, I was also going to say making bread. I missed my call. COVID sourdough girly.
Right. For sure.
If we hadn't had that stupid kid, he would have gone nuts making sourdough.
Yeah, but I think that's probably the one.
Do you think, I guess, for each of you?
Yeah.
3 Stacks in 10 years when you have a little more free time, Tyler, when you get off your dumb, stupid fucking ass.
Yeah. You've answered the question.
Do you think you'll start making sourdough ever?
No, I'm never gonna get off my dumb, stupid ass. I could get really into making bread today. I have nothing holding me back, but I'm just. I'm not motivated.
So now we're a little bit close to how I was handling you about NaNoWriMo for a few years there.
Yeah.
So like I might just every month or two be like, "So how's the sourdough coming?" And you'll say, "It's not. Shut up, nerd."
Sure, whatever you want to do. If that's fun for you, go for it.
I'll call it a drone strike.
There are so many things that I think, like, it would be cool to do that, and then I just don't pursue it any further. Like, it would be mad cool to learn how to weld. I've been saying that ever since I watched, like, BattleBots for the first time. And I could learn how to weld. Sure, why not? BattleBots. Yeah, but I'm never going to. I'm just never going to do it.
I will say that's a really good ad for having kids. Is they're just such an excuse for everything. Like, I could just say, oh, once I don't have to deal with these children,
I'll
become a risotto master. I'm sure I will never become a risotto master, but now I can kind of put the self-guilt on ice for a decade or whatever.
That's good. That's baked in. That's nice.
Baked in. Good. Yep. Good mm-hmm. job. That was on purpose, I'm sure.
Definitely on purpose. 100%.
Maybe in 3 years when our unspecified healthcare IT company gives you like $1,000 or whatever to spend on lessons specifically.
Oh, I forgot that was a thing. That's so weird.
Take cooking classes to learn to make risotto.
Interesting.
I think really what we should do is once our kids are all teenagers, we should do food battles. My risotto versus your bread. We'll see what they have to say.
I mean, our children won't eat real food, so bread's gonna win, baby.
Well, but they'll be fucking people, not just whatever they are now. Well, I'll tell
you. Three Stacks confident in her genes over here.
I'll be pairing my risotto with wine, and in this state, that's legal. Mm-hmm. And if they're getting wine, I'll be the winner.
Yeah, you're cool with them drinking 16, right, Three Stacks? You're cool with that?
I mean, they can have, you know, a little bit of beer and wine at 16 is what I think to myself now, but we'll see how they are when they're 15 and whether
they're little fucking shits. They're not getting
anything. Saying.
Well, they're little fucking shits now, I'll tell you what. We'll see what they're doing a decade from now.
I might feel differently when they're 15.
Yeah, you might. I don't know. Let's see. Do we have something to feel about over here? From CBSNews.com, retailers rally against beer and wine sales in grocery stores, urging Governor Moore to listen to their concerns. So I guess they're feeling pretty miserable about this. I guess Maryland is one of those bitch-ass states where you can't sell beer or wine in, like, grocery stores. They have to be in liquor stores or whatever. Bunch of bitch-asses.
Back in my day, you couldn't even get them in a gas station.
Yeah, well, apparently you still can't.
My experience is you had to get your buddy's older brother to get you booze. I think, legally speaking, that might be the only way you can get booze there. So if nobody has older brothers there, I think
they're fucked. Their
beer economy might collapse. Honestly, I know my dad drinks. Not much, but he drinks some, but he's the youngest, so I don't know what he's older brothers it. He knows.
Yeah.
Says that he can acquire beer.
Who's his hookup?
I don't know.
I guess though, Governor Westmoreland is looking to maybe get rid of this requirement, and of course, like all the fucking liquor stores are pissed off because they got a monopoly on it right now. And again, I think much like my first comments in that first article, they can fuck right the fuck off. I don't care. I don't give a shit.
It is weird the ways in which I'm quite socialist, and then other ways I'm like, well, the free market will fix this for sure. But like, yeah, get in there, free market.
Yeah.
Lower the cost for the consumer,
right.
I assume. Increased convenience for the consumer, definitely.
There's a quote in here which is absolutely hysterical. Where is it? It's a quote: "We can never compete with a convenience store or Royal Farms or 7-Eleven. We'll be out of business." Yeah, well, sucks for you.
We're incompetent, and if you give us competition, we'll fail. Don't do this. We'll fail.
Exactly. Like, be better. Skate better, bro. I don't know what to tell you. Skate better,
bro.
Yeah, exactly. Three Stacks deep in thought over there. Once again, attempting to read the entirety of the article.
She's in that thing where she's reading. Fucking dork.
Making an uninformed first opinion like an American.
My favorite quote is, Governor Moore has always been a friend to our industry, but we think this bill will hurt craft distillers. From my understanding, they're not trying to put liquor in grocery stores. So they're just assuming that people are only buying craft liquor because they have to go to a liquor store anyway. And are like, well, I'm here to get the beer I wanted to get. I may as well buy this whiskey that is definitely what I was here for.
Why would it hurt craft distilleries if they could sell their product in more places?
Well, I think the idea is that if people don't have to go to the liquor store to buy beer and wine, they won't see the wall of liquor and won't be like, I want to buy this liquor while I'm here also.
I don't think
I've ever once gone to a store with the intention of buying beer.
Yeah.
I guess I have, because I am the person I am. But, like, if I was going to buy a case of Bud Light, I'm not going to be like, yep, I'm going to get this craft whiskey.
Yeah, this Aviator gin will really go well with my Busch Light. Yeah.
Just, like, the kinds of beer that are going to be sold in grocery stores and convenience stores is not the market for craft liquor.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I don't know. It's stupid. I think, you know, PA functionally got around it by having that, like if you have, like, a cafe or a diner, then you can sell it. So they all have those little cafes in the supermarket that doesn't sell anything except, like, beer and wine, which is pretty funny.
Which kind of folds into our, like, many governments theory. That one is a little bit libertarian. Sell your shit. Who cares? It's like a hyper free market argument. But also, like, there's a lot of stuff the government should be up to. The government can just, like, chill on this one.
Yeah.
You got better shit to do, the government. There are people out here dying of cancer that no one is going to help them pay for. Maybe don't police me trying to sell some rando my beer that I made in a bathtub.
Yes, definitely.
Definitely.
That is a good point to make after all those backpackers died in Asia.
Well, I mean, but I do a
good. You do a good.
I do a good.
Yeah.
It's that not a work because I understand your concern, but what you need to remember here is that I do it good.
Right. Absolutely.
Every tub in our home has had human feces in it in the last calendar year.
Now, hold on. I've bleached out every bathtub.
Within the last calendar year.
Actually, only one. You did the other one, right?
I don't know. I've lost
track. Oh, God.
That's our bath. Please tell me you bleached that one out.
I cleaned it out.
Okay,
I didn't,
great.
Like, soak it in a bleach bath.
I mean, I didn't, like...
I used the bleach-based cleaner.
One of our kids shits the tub like it's a fucking hobby, and it's the worst goddamn thing. It happens all the time, makes me so mad, and it's to a point where I have to put her in the tub and then start the timer and get her as clean as I can, as fast as I can, to get her out of the tub so she won't fucking shit in the tub again!
Also, every time she takes a bath, she spends the whole time repeating, "No poop in the tub!" And then she still poops in the tub, like a third of the time, if you let her.
But she's a real chaos monster, but we don't need to talk about my shitty middle kid.
Oh, man.
She's adorable. We love her so much. She will not stop pooping in our bathtub.
Incredible. Oh, boy. So I think we're at one for having kids and like negative 1,000 for. Wait, hold on. Other way.
Well, it sounds like having kids is hugely in the lead by 1,000 and change.
Math. Is this
great?
One of those
I'm glad we all agree. What have you been up to, Tyler?
Is this one of those math questions he makes you do, Emily? What have I been up to?
He just loves a good math puzzle.
I do love a good math puzzle.
A math puzzle? You fucking nerd. That sounds like the worst.
Smiling as he's like, how many times did you have to flip a coin to guarantee that you'd get three in a row of the same thing?
Well, you could never do that.
I know.
Never. Infinity time is the answer to that question. Next.
It's a bad example, but the premise is good.
Damn, three stacks. That was embarrassing for you.
Okay,
should
so.
I can just go.
Tyler, we're going to talk triple primes in the post roll, and we're going to see how that goes, okay?
Horrible. Are you kidding
me? That's a teaser. That's a teaser for after the episode. We're going to talk triple primes.
Great.
Okay, we'll find out. We'll learn together without the listener.
Well, hold on. One of us has to put the kids to bed.
Okay.
I guess so.
Got triple primes. Hooray for me.
And I don't have to put the children who have been watching Spider-Man for an hour to bed.
Oh, they're going to yell
at me. We're all the winner.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. My oven is kind of broke. So what should I do for the Christmas meal?
Do you have a stove?
I got a stove, baby.
Do you have a Dutch oven?
Yeah. Only at night.
Okay.
I walked right into that one. And do you have a mandolin?
A mandolin. Not the instrument. The shredder thing.
Yeah.
I think so.
Latkes.
Obviously I can make latkes.
Am I wrong? Christmas night is the first night of Hanukkah, right?
You're correct.
Latkes.
I'm going to make latkes. Latkes are being made. Thank you, Sam. I'm on the same page.
Okay, eat shit, Christmas. There are latkes.
No, I know. But, latkes are not a main course.
Well, they are in this house.
They are if you make enough of them, doggy.
We live in Wisconsin.
I guess that's true.
That must be tough because you don't do pork. You don't do beef.
Correct.
So, if you were, oven aside,
yeah.
If you were going to do, a big piece, it would be, a roast bird of some kind.
Yes, that is correct.
Chicken or turkey, probably.
Correct.
I mean, if you're already pan-frying things, I feel like the easy answer is schnitzel.
Oh, that's an idea.
Fuck yeah. And then we got a little bit of Jewy vibe, too.
Yeah.
Schnitzel's kind of a merging of the worlds. I love
that. That's a great answer, Three Stacks.
It's always intimidating, but also if you have a pan of hot oil,
if you're willing to deep fry something, then might as well schnitzel it. Like, what's it on off your dick if you're already gonna fry some shit?
That's true. You're absolutely correct.
Oh yeah,
clutch move.
This is I feel like we do a lot of discussion questions on this show, and this is the first time that someone's been like, what's 2 + 2? And someone has been like, oh, it's 4, G. And you'd be like, oh, shit! Hell yeah, it's 4!
It's true.
Next question.
Yeah, that was just a good one. Way to go.
Good work.
Nice work. All right, well, we put that one to bed. So let's go to this next article, Euronews.com. I don't know why that's funny to me, but it is. Beer for the masses. North Korea beer bar opens in Pyongyang. I'm sure that Pyongyang has more than one beer bar, but this is a new one. It's Taedonggang, which has its start back in 2000, when apparently Usher's brewery in the UK went bankrupt, and it went up for auction, and late Supreme Leader of North Korea Kim Jong-il bought the whole thing and had it reassembled in North Korea, where it's become the state flagship beer producer, which is pretty fucking funny. And now they have a high-end Taedonggang beer bar in Pyongyang. If you're going to Pyongyang and you want a crisp one, this is the place to be.
I'm sorry if this makes me come across as bigoted, but I have a feeling this beer isn't so great.
Yeah, I don't know how it is. What I can tell you, though, is that it says down here at the end that 95% of North Korean's alcohol consumption comes from liquors like the popular Korean soju, with the remaining 5% coming from beer that is, where does it say it? Coming from low-quality homebrews from local microbreweries. So, yikes.
I'm not sure I know what soju is.
Soju is like a rice liquor.
So like sake that someone fermented harder?
I don't know if it's like related to sake or not. I just know that it's liquor created from rice.
I should try it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't think I've ever had it.
I've had most varieties of hard liquor, but I haven't had this one.
Have you had Rocky? Rocky fucking sucks.
No. What is Rocky?
I don't know. It's some. I had it when I was in Turkey. I was tricked. I thought I was buying like a little thing of vodka, but it was Rocky, and it tastes like anise, like black licorice. It was disgusting.
I hate anise so much.
Me too. And I was like, I was trying to mix it with like orange juice because again, I thought it was vodka, and I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this? This tastes disgusting. Yeah, I think
that would make it worse somehow. Like, as much as I hate it, I think mixing it with something tasty would make it harder to drink.
It was so gross. It was so gross.
And what's the spelling of that? It's not just Rocky like the rest, the boxer, is it?
No. I think it's got like one of those C's with a squiggle in it somewhere. I think it's R-A-C with a squiggle I, but I'm not sure about that.
Google it yourselves, true believers.
Yeah. But I just think it's funny that they're calling out these local microbrews. Like, they're all pretty low quality out there. They're pretty trash. I mean, they probably are. I can't believe there's enough, like, spare grain to go around to make beer out in the countryside of North Korea.
No, it makes me worry that these people are going to get killed for having, like, just surplus food.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Well, at least we can all agree, what a funny premise for an article.
Yeah, yes it is. Go ahead.
I like that the best thing they can say about this beer, the only descriptor, is that it's a light lager with a lot of bubbles.
That's true. Yep, Taedonggang number 2, a light lager with a lot of bubbles.
Only noteworthy feature of this beer.
The bubbles. Very effervescent. It also says it's probably mostly for like political elite in North Korea and international travelers. And like, I know people do international travel to North Korea, but what kind of fucking psychopath do you have to be to do that? You know?
Also, I think if our employer, for whatever fucking fucked up reason, had a customer in North Korea and I got sent there, I don't think I would drink the beer there.
I think I would stay in my hotel sitting silently.
I would probably salute from the hotel just in case.
Right, yeah, why not? But because, like, it was like that guy Otto Warmbier. Do you remember that? Funny that his last name was Warmbier.
So often. Every once in a while, I just Google it.
Okay, well, both of you guys can tell me, because I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
He like, went over there as some sort of cultural exchange thing, and he was like, you know what would be a great idea? Stealing some signs. And they were like, how would you like to actually be dead then? And that was it.
There's, like, a lot of conspiracy about, like, whether he was framed and actually stole the sign, or if it was, like...
Here's the thing. If you're an American, don't go to North Korea on a cultural exchange. Like, whether
unless
or not...
Unless you're Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, unless you're Dennis Rodman. He's the only one.
Guided tour, and he ended up getting sentenced to, like, 15 years of hard labor, and within, like, 6 months, he was in a coma.
And then he came back to the U.S.
And they claimed it was, like, botulism, and they sent him home after, like,
and
a year.
And he died, like, 2 years
he
later.
He died immediately.
2 days later, yeah, like, 2 days later.
Like, they could tell he was about to die, and they were like, let's ship him back home. He's not our problem anymore.
Yep. But I don't feel bad for him at all. Like, what kind of clownery are you getting into? It's like, and I know people aren't going to like me for saying this, but it's like when that lady was in Russia and she got arrested, Brittany Griner. It's like, what are you doing? Like, this is the most tense geopolitical time in Russia-U.S. history since, like, the Cold War. And you're just going to be waltzing around like a high-value target? What are you doing?
Just don't go to Russia or North Korea.
Yeah, like don't do it.
Like, it's like just pro tip.
Yeah.
And pro, by pro I mean like I've been living for like a while now and I've found that it's been really helpful to not go to Russia or North Korea. It's helped me to not get assassinated.
It's like, hey, I'm going to go play for the Houthi Basketball League. I hope everything works out okay. I don't think it's gonna.
That's well, hot. What do we think of our beers anyway?
I think I wouldn't drink this beer again, even if I was threatened with North Korea jail. No, it wasn't nearly that bad. That's how I felt about last week's beer. But I had, I guess I'm going first since I'm talking about it already. Berliner Geschichte Bock, 6.7% ABV. And it was a fine Bock. I just don't like Bocks. I think they taste like soy sauce and they're weird and gross. So I'm going to give it a 4.5 and recommend it to people who like Bocks.
And is one of those where you're like, ah, oh, geez, I got a six pack of this. What am I going to do with this?
No, thank God I only have one of these.
Oh, because I wanted you to make fried rice with it because you think it's like soy sauce.
Yeah, no, unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. Can you come up with something for me to do with those five Corona Tropicals I have?
Looking to you, Stax. You're the only chef in the family.
No, I don't know what a Corona Tropical tastes like.
Like garbage.
Like a wet fart of a Dos Equis. Probably just like broil some chicken in it to make some tacos.
Yeah, you could probably do. You just need the wet. You just need the wet of that.
If you're gonna boil some chicken anyway, you might as well do it in this. I think it's probably culinarily your best approach.
Make a beer cheese queso. That's probably not good.
I wouldn't do that with the Tropical. I don't know. I'm worried that some of that tropicalness might come through. It was really gross. But what did you have this week?
I had Holiday Train. This beer tastes like an IPA. It has so many words on the can, and it tastes like three words, I guess, if you wanna go that route. It's like a good IPA. I enjoy drinking it, but it did not give me any of the holiday spices that it promised me, which is a little disappointing. So it is a good beer. I'm going to give it a 6.4, but most of that is just because, like, this is an IPA I would drink again. And I would recommend it to anyone who has to go to a Christmas party and really just wants to be drinking an IPA, but seem festive.
That's fair. Samuel?
Small, you were like, if I had to describe this in three words, and I'll describe mine in two words. Those words are Buffalini Effect! It didn't taste like French toast at all. This beer's bullshit. Oh, it kind of tasted good, but also, like, come on!
Mm-hmm. Classic Boof. You can't say
French toast and then not taste like French toast. Buffalini Effect.
Yep.
3.5, and I'll recommend it to people who love being lied to, like it's their fetish, like that they're kinky.
You're going to recommend this to Tim Roth of Lie to Me?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. That was a really great joke for people who love mid-rate cable shows.
For people who are not on this episode of the podcast.
Who in our podcast watches Lie to Me?
Tim?
Oh, okay. All right.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
He's just the biggest wild card, so.
That's true. You never know. To him. Never know. Well,
that guy could be the president of Honduras for all I know. That guy's nuts.
Yeah. If he's the president of Honduras, he should probably stop emailing us so frequently. Like, he probably has things to do. I don't know.
I don't know, man. You do you, well, buddy. You're the president of Honduras.
I guess.
He's going to tell you to fuck off.
Seems like he knows best. Yeah. All right. Well, Ginsbergs, thanks for being around.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Listener, if you want to tell us about your favorite Tim Roth vehicle, No, that fucking sucks. It's obviously Reservoir Dogs.
What do you want to get good at making?
Yeah, okay, you can tell us what food.
Or also, obviously, it's Christmas Eve, so say something about that, you know, or whatever.
No. Get Sam signed out off risotto. Get him a different food that he wants to make every week.
Am I that bad at making risotto, or do you hate risotto that much?
You just talk about it all the time, dear.
It's because it's so good.
Okay, well, how about this? Email us and tell us what food lives rent-free in your mind. I guess you don't have to email us, but you could email us at brewsdaytuesdaypodcast@gmail.com. You can comment on links at brewsdays.com, or you can blue on us at the blue sky through at brewsdaytuesday. Is that the one? Wonderful. Don't let us keep it down. We'll see you next episode. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Are we just not acknowledging that people want to call blue sky tweets skeets?
Here comes a beer, catch all your tears. Drink the remedy, forget about your problems. Here comes a shot, lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy, forget about your problems. This one's on me, fix you for free. Drink the remedy, forget about everything. This one's on me, got what you need. And take your medicine, you feel better.
So Tyler, I know you're not a math guy.
No, I'm not.
So the number, you know what a prime number is, right?
Uh-huh. A number that's only divisible one in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 17 is prime.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
19, also prime.
Okay.
So two numbers that are two away from each other that are both prime are called twin primes. So 17 and 19 are twin primes. 29 and 31 are called
three and five?
Would be twin primes. Actually, you're getting to really the meat of the argument. 3 and 5 and 7 are all primes.
Oh, those are trip primes.
That's the only set of prime triplets. The question is, prove it.
No.